Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text number 41. At the Rajasuya Yagya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, there was the greatest assembly of all the elite men of the world, the royal and learned orders, and in that great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was worshipped by one and all as the most exalted personality of Godhead. This happened during my presence, and I remembered the incident in order to keep my mind upon the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After gaining victory in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the emperor of the world, performed the Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. The emperor in those days, upon his ascendance to the throne, would send a challenge horse all over the world to declare his supremacy, and any ruling prince or king was at liberty to accept the challenge and express his tacit willingness either to obey or to disobey the supremacy of the particular emperor. One who accepted the challenge had to fight with the emperor and establish his own supremacy by victory. The defeated challenger would have to sacrifice his life, making a place for another king or ruler. So Maharaj Yudhisthira also dispatched such challenging horses all over the world, and every ruling prince and king all over the world accepted Maharaj Yudhisthira's leadership as the emperor of the world. After this, all rulers of the world under the regime of Maharaj Yudhisthira were invited to participate in the great sacrificial ceremony of Rajasuya. Such performances required hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was not an easy job for a petty king. Such a sacrificial ceremony, being too expensive and also difficult to perform under present circumstances, is now impossible in this age of Kali. Nor can anyone secure the required expert priesthood to take charge of the ceremony. So, after being invited, all the kings and great learned sages of the world assembled in the capital of Maharaj Yudhisthira. The learned society, including the great philosophers, religionists, physicians, scientists, and all great sages, was invited. That is to say, the brahmanas and the kshatriyas were the topmost leading men in society, and they were all invited to participate in the assembly. The vaishyas and sudras were unimportant elements in society, and they were not mentioned herein. Due to the change of social activities in the modern age, the importance of men has also changed in terms of occupational positions. So in the great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was the sinecure. Sinecure means the main object of attention, the most prominent. Sinecure of neighboring eyes. Everyone wanted to see Lord Krishna, and everyone wanted to pay his humble respects to the Lord. Bhismadeva remembered all this and was glad that his worshipful Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was present before him in his actual formal presence. So to meditate on the Supreme Lord is to meditate on the activities, form, pastimes, name, and fame of the Lord. That is easier than what is imagined as meditation on the impersonal feature of the Supreme. In the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is clearly stated that to meditate upon the impersonal feature of the Supreme is very difficult. It is practically no meditation or simply a waste of time, because very seldom is the desired result obtained. The devotees, however, meditate upon the Lord's factual form and pastimes, and therefore the Lord is easily approachable by the devotees. This is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 12.9. The Lord is non-different from his transcendental activities. It is indicated also in the sloka that Lord Sri Krishna also is indicated also in this sloka that Lord Sri Krishna, while actually present before human society, especially in connection with the Battle of Kurukshetra, was accepted as the greatest personality of the time, although he might not have been recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The propaganda that a very great man is worshipped as God after his death is misleading, because a man, after his death, cannot be made into God. Nor can the personality of Godhead be a human being, even when he is personally present. Both ideas are misconceptions. The idea of anthropomorphism cannot be applicable in the case of Lord Krishna. Well, these last couple lines are extremely important. Anthropomorphism means projecting human qualities on something. Anthro means man, mankind. And morphism means form. These are Latin words. No, it might be Greek. I'm sorry. Anthropomorphism. Well, okay, so we have the example, like, for example, Swami Narayan. We have Shridi Sai Baba and other people who become God after their death. So here Prabhupada says, the propaganda that a very great man is worshipped as God after his death is misleading, because a man after his death cannot be made into God. Nor can the personality of Godhead be a human being even when he is personally present. Both ideas are misconceptions. The idea of anthropomorphism cannot be applicable in the case of Lord Krishna. Now, wait a minute. We have to add a third person to this list. Shridi Sai Baba. There is Swami Narayan, and there's Jesus Christ. The whole Christian movement split into many, many different sects, or especially in the beginning, after 300 years and several international councils of all Christian, in philosophers, priests, etc. They got into arguments about, is Jesus a man who became God, or is he God who became man? And then they started splitting. And is the Trinity three different persons, or is it one person? All these things have caused splits in the Christian religion. Should we use logic and reason to understand the reality of Jesus, or should we just accept it as some mystery, divine mystery, and not try and analyze it logically? Another cause of split in the Christian church. So the same thing is there if we talk about Shridi Sai Baba or Swami Narayan. And there are others. We have also Ramakrishna. So Prabhupada says here, Lord Sri Krishna, while actually present before human society, especially in connection with the Battle of Kurukshetra, was accepted as the greatest personality of the time, although he might not have been recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, not everybody recognized him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Sisupala and others, but Arjuna did. And in his time, Bhisma did, right? And in his time, Kunti did, right? And in his time, all the Pandavas did. And who else? Draupadi did, yes. So, I mean, there are a bunch of people accepted that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, even in the time of Jesus, only the disciples, not all the disciples, one of them didn't, but at least 11 of the disciples accepted him, especially after he resurrected from the dead and walked amongst them for 40 days. They accepted that he was the Son of God. Right. Okay, so... So there's two things. That one is, nor can the personality of Godhead be a human being even when he is personally present. Both ideas, the propaganda that a very great man is worshipped as God after his death, is misleading, because a man after his death cannot be made into God. Okay, so this is a very important point Prabhupada makes, and we have to think about it. We have to think about what he's saying. Also, the whole idea of Mayavad philosophy, well, we don't have to argue it in the modern sense because it was already explained by Krishna 5,000 years ago. He says, Kleso, Didkaritas, Te Sam, Avyakta Shakta Chetasam. He says, Avyakta Hi Gatir Dukam, Dehad Babir Avapyate. So he says, for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So in other words, he's already saying 5,000 years ago that it's going to be very, very difficult for someone to understand Krishna by becoming a impersonalist or Mayavadi speculator. And therefore he says, he cites this verse in the Bhagavad Gita 12.5. It is clearly stated that to meditate upon the impersonal feature of the Lord is very difficult. It is practically no meditation or simply a waste of time because very seldom is the desired result obtained. Right? So we don't have to worry about, you know, in the modern sense, trying to argue against impersonalism. It already happened by Krishna 5,000 years ago. And he's explaining it, and then Prabhupada is giving more information here. So this is, let's see, 1.9. Okay, so then he quotes another verse, again from the 12th chapter, because the 12th chapter is all about devotional service, pure devotional service. So he quotes the verse, Atachittam samadatum nasaknosi maistiram abhyasa yogina tato mam ichaptum dananjaya. My dear Arjuna, winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. So he says, this is also stated, he says, the devotees, however, meditate upon the Lord's factual form and pastimes, and therefore the Lord is easily approachable by the devotees. This is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 12.9. The Lord is not different from his transcendental activities. It is indicated also in this sloka that Lord Sri Krishna, while actually present before human society, especially in connection with the battle of Kurukshetra, was accepted as the greatest personality of the time, although he might not have been recognized as the supreme personality of Godhead. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says, to 12.9, in this verse, two different processes of bhakti yoga are indicated. The first applies to one who has actually developed an attachment for Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, by transcendental love. And the other is for one who has not developed an attachment for the Supreme Person by transcendental love. That's our case, or at least my case. For this second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be ultimately elevated to the stage of attachment to Krishna. So he's talking about sadhana bhakti as opposed to raganuga bhakti. And that's where we all are situated. When we come to Krishna consciousness. But the goal is to come up to Raganuga Bhakti, but obviously it's not an overnight thing. It takes time to weed out all the anarthas that one may have. And we've discussed this before. He says, Bhakti Yoga is the purification of the senses. At the present moment in material existence, the senses are always impure, being engaged in sense gratification. But by the practice of bhakti yoga, these senses can be purified. And in a purified state, they come directly in contact with the Supreme Lord. So in other words, when our senses are purified, then they become spiritualized. And with spiritual senses, one can see Krishna. Just like in the 11th chapter, in the beginning of the 11th chapter, what does Krishna tell Arjuna? He says, you know, you don't have the eyes to see Krishna, but I will give you the eyes. In other words, he says, so Arjuna says, if you think I'm able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal form. So in the purport to 11.4, Prabhupada says, it is said that one can neither see, hear, understand, or perceive the Supreme Lord, Krishna, by material senses. But if one, in other words, you can't see the Lord, Krishna, by material senses. But if one is engaged in loving transcendental service to the Lord from the beginning, then one can see the Lord by revelation. Every living entity is only a spiritual spark. Therefore, it is not possible to see or to understand the Supreme Lord. Arjuna, as a devotee, does not depend on his speculative strength. Rather, he admits his limitations as a living entity and acknowledges Krishna's inestimable position. Arjuna could understand that for a living entity, it is not possible to understand the unlimited infinite. If the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. The word Yogeshwara is also very significant here because the Lord has inconceivable power. If he likes, he can reveal himself by his grace, although he is unlimited. Therefore, Arjuna pleads for the inconceivable grace of Krishna. He does not give Krishna orders. Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself unless one surrenders fully in Krishna consciousness and engages in devotional service. Thus, it is not possible for persons to depend on the strength of their mental speculations to see Krishna. Well, that's the whole point. The modern scientists, philosophers, they all rely on their own sense of speculation and reason and logic and so-called empirical science to see the Lord, and it's impossible. So we see that the whole theory of education today is wrong. And kids that are subjected to that education eventually are beaten. Their brain is beaten until they say, yeah, that's a fact. You can't, you know, there's no such thing as revelation, surrender, all that stuff. You know, it's just hard science, reason, logic, speculation is good. So, in other words, one's put into an impossible situation. They'll never reach understanding of God by accepting that false pedagogy. Pedagogy is system of education. Pedagogical, you know, a system of education. So, and Krishna cannot be ordered. You can't say, oh God, you know, if you want me to believe in you, yeah, manifest yourself right now. No, he's not going to do that. Don't even ask. You can't order the God, oh God. But you can surrender to Krishna and be trained by following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness through the whole process of sadhana bhakti, and eventually one can come to raganuga bhakti. But that has to be indicated by the guru. It's not that, oh, now Gurudeva, I achieved Raganuga Bhakti. That's a bunch of nonsense. It's a long process, and one has to be accepted, or one has to be trained properly, and eventually the guru will say, okay, now you've come to the point of Raganuga Bhakti, and then you're put under the direction of one of the gopis who is engaging in serving Krishna in the way you're desiring to. And that basically is the definition of lust in the spiritual world. There's an interesting point. Yesterday we talked about that, but anyway, let me just finish this one point. The Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Arjuna, O son of Prita, see now my opulences, hundreds of thousands of varied divine and multicolored forms. So he says, Pasya me parta rupani. Pasya means just see. So Krishna is basically giving Arjuna the eyes. Arjuna wanted to see Krishna in his universal form, which, although a transcendental form, is not manifested for the cosmic manifestation. Is just manifested for the cosmic manifestation. That means Virat Rupa only exists in the material world, doesn't exist in the spiritual world, and is therefore subject to the temporary time of this material nature. As the material nature is manifested and not manifested, similarly, the universal form of Krishna is manifested and not manifested. It is not eternally situated in the spiritual sky like Krishna's other forms. As far as a devotee is concerned, he is not eager to see the universal form, but because Arjuna wanted to see Krishna in this way, Krishna reveals this form. This universal form is not possible to be seen by any ordinary man. Krishna must give one the power to see it. That's it. You cannot see Virat Rupa. You cannot see any spiritual reality without Krishna, without becoming purified by sadhana bhakti and under the scrutiny of bona fide spiritual masters. And when Krishna chooses you, you have to be chosen. It's not that, oh, now I'm qualified. Krishna has to choose you. Then you can see. If you could be the most qualified person, but if Krishna doesn't choose you, you cannot see. See? It's just like being a Supreme Court judge in the United States. You might be the most qualified person, just like there was one named Bork. He was probably the most qualified person to become a Supreme Court judge. But the Democrats stopped him. They didn't want him to be on the Supreme Court. And Prabhupada uses that. He doesn't mention Bork, but he uses that example. It says, you, even though you're qualified, you cannot be a Supreme Court judge unless you are chosen. In the same way, you cannot see Krishna unless he chooses you. And that's, there's a verse like that in the Shastra. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah. It's a very nice verse. I think it's Katha Upanishad. And it says, Svetasvatara Upanishad. And it says, not there. Okay, anyway, I have to find it. That's a mistake in this book. Okay, but it says that unless Krishna chooses you, you cannot see him or even approach him. Okay, so then coming back to this, to 12:9, Krishna says, or Prabhupada writes, Arjuna wanted to see the universal form, and the Lord gives him the particular vision required to see that universal form. Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulences. The playmates of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, and the parents of Krishna never want Krishna to show his opulences. They are so immersed in pure love that they do not even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In their loving exchange, they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births, they are able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They take him as a personal friend. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami recites this verse, Itam satam brahma sukhanu bhritya dasyam gatanam paradhaivatena maya shritanam naradara kena sakam vija ru kritapunya punja. Here is the Supreme Person who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages, the Supreme Personality Godhead by devotees, and a product of material nature by ordinary men. Now, these boys who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 12, 11. The fact is that the devotee is not concerned with seeing this Visvarupa, the universal form. But Arjuna wanted to see it to substantiate Krishna's statements so that in the future people could understand that Krishna is not only theoretically or philosophically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually presented himself as such to Arjuna. Arjuna must confirm this because Arjuna is the beginning of the parampara. Very important point, because the parampara was broken. Those who are actually interested in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and who follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, should understand that Krishna has not only theoretically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually revealed himself as the Supreme. The Lord gave Arjuna the necessary power to see his universal form because he knew that Arjuna did not particularly want to see it, as we have already explained. Well, why did he do that? Why did Arjuna do that? Because he knew that in the future there would be many imposters who claimed that they're God. And therefore, when Arjuna asked Krishna to reveal his universal form, he revealed it. So you have a right to ask anyone who says, I am God, to reveal his universal form, to give you the transcendental eyes to see it, if you're a sincere person. You know, they might say, well, you're not surrendered to me. You know, but Arjuna, the point is that if someone is God, you're not challenging him, but you're saying, well, look, Arjuna asked Krishna very humbly, please show me your universal form, and he showed it. So I'm humbly asking you, please show me your universal form. And if he can't do it, or if he gives some phony answer, like, well, you're not surrendered to me, I won't show you, you know, it's a bunch of nonsense. So we see that all these questions that are coming up today have already been answered by Krishna. You know, the idea that so many people claim, the idea that after death one can be proclaimed to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that while one is alive they don't manifest anything that would indicate that they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, you don't become God after you die. You have to. And so Krishna manifested to Arjuna his universal form while Arjuna was alive and Krishna was present. Okay, so all these points are important, and you see how thorough Prabhupada is. And these points are necessary to convince other people. So, therefore, we'll stop right there, and there's a few more points that we'll cover tomorrow. Hare Krishna, any questions? Okay.
It says that if you think I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universe itself.
Okay.
So, is this contradictory? Because here Arjuna is requesting Krishna to support this.
Well, if you read the last part of 11.3, purport. Krishna also understands that Arjuna wants to see the universal form to set a criterion, for in the future there would be so many imposters who would pose themselves as incarnations of God. The people, therefore, should be careful. One who claims to be Krishna should be prepared to show his universal form to confirm his claim to the people. So that's why. It's not that he wanted to see it for himself, but he wanted to establish a criterion that would defeat all these phony imposters in the future. So anyone who is being, exhorted to accept someone Exhorted means, you know, as being groomed or prepared to accept that someone is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a criterion. If he is, then he should be able to show the universal form like Krishna did. And if he can't do it, then he's not. And that's what it's saying here. Because Arjuna, as a devotee, he doesn't need to see the Virat Rupa. He's not interested in seeing it. But Arjuna wants to see the universal form to set a criterion. That's the point. For in the future, there would be so many imposters who would pose themselves as incarnations of God. Hari Bol. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes. 1941? 11? Oh, no. What did he say? 1-9? Oh, yeah. 1941. Yeah, the Bhagavatam. Yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.